There we go. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another Championship Week video notebook. Here we are. Friday night was this night number 4 of Championship Week, I believe. Yeah. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Joining us, David Griggs, first of all. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And another really exciting day. I don't know why, but I always seem to enjoy the opening rounds of these smaller, under-the-radar conferences a lot more than the opening rounds of the multi-bid leagues. Today was just a fun day, and yesterday, too. We'll get to it all.
It was. We had a couple of really good games that we're going to get to in a couple of seconds here. I also want to introduce our other panelist, John Slica, if I can speak here. John, how are you?
I'm doing quite well here on Championship Week. And no, we are not calling it Champ Week here. I don't know who came up with that idea.
Well, actually, we wanted to get right into the games here, and I'm going to go ahead and pull up on my screen here, and I actually think it was a typo here. This is actually Chimp Week. Everybody, welcome to Hoops HD's coverage of Chimp Week here.
Yes, Chimp Week. Champ Week. And again, I guess this is the hashtag culture we live in now. It's not Championship Week. It's now Champ Week. Thanks.
Chimp Week. Chimp Week. Yeah. C-H-I-M-P. When you tweet it out, Chimp Week. Right. Well, let's get right into the games here. We should be pulling up the let's roll this up a little bit here. The game of the night tonight, let's start right there. In the Ohio Valley Conference, the first semifinal, Austin Peay Belmont going overtime in just an incredible game, and Austin Peay pulls out the huge upset, 8 seed in the championship game. David, your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, and this run actually kind of started before the conference tournament even started. You might recall they had to win a game, just their final regular season game,
and get help
just to get in here. And then they blasted Texas Tech. That was kind of a surprise. Didn't really watch much of it because the game wasn't close and because the stream kept freezing. Fell way behind at Tennessee Tech. I believe they were down 8-19, or I'm sorry, to Tennessee State, were down 18-19 in Tennessee State's home city, came back and won. And then the day, like, took it to the Belmont team that clearly looked better than anyone else in this league, at least for most of the season, and ended up getting the win in overtime. Austin Peay advancing all the way to the championship game. They'll face another good story, UT Martin. They had been good more recently than what I remember. I remember them having seasons where they only won 3 and 4 games, but as you just pointed out just before they went on, they were a first-place team back in 2009. But again, they've really turned it around. Martin has. So a really interesting storyline in this tournament.
One of the things too, UT Martin, actually, this is their first ever OVC championship game. Despite that one first place finish, they didn't get out of the semifinals that year. Austin Peay, actually, Belmont thought they had won the game there for a minute at the end of overtime.
Oh, crazy.
A shot that, upon review, was about a tenth of a second beyond too late. The officials originally called it as good. To my naked eye, it looked like it was not good, and the replay confirmed that. What was just an amazing game, though.
Oh, it was. Lots of fun to watch.
And John, coming up tomorrow, the first automatic bid will be handed out tomorrow. I believe it's a 4 o'clock in the afternoon start. Austin Peay and UT Martin. Which of these incredible stories do you think is going to come through here?
Okay. It's actually going to be a 6 o'clock start right here, but as one of the things I alluded to, last night, Austin Peay would be okay as long as they played a team within the state of Tennessee, and I guess Martin would qualify. But yeah, I think they're going to be able to overcome the miracle on Martin, and we'll probably see Peay and Dave Luce make it to the NCAA tournament for what is it, the 11th time in program history.
Yeah, Dave Luce, they interviewed him after the game. After all that, this just unbelievable, dramatic, back-and-forth Cinderella story that comes down to a last-second shot that was waved off. And Dave Luce, on television after the game, looked like he had just been woken up from a nap.
Well, Dave Luce, what they were actually saying during the game is that, as a good luck charm, he has worn the same suit the last 3 days, will wear it again tomorrow, and he's smelling about the same as our friend the chimp here right now, apparently.
But, yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on beyond the Ohio Valley Conference and move over to the Missouri Valley Arch Madness, where we had almost had an unbelievable feat happen today. From a, if you're a fan of numbers, all four games had a shot to have the winning team score 66 points. A missed free throw at the end of the Indiana State game left them with only 65. But we start off the day with that Wichita State Loyola game, and Loyola really had a shot to win this game until about 4 minutes left when Wichita, especially Ron Baker, really turned it on.
Yeah, not a very impressive showing for Wichita at all. Not to take anything away from Loyola, but I believe Loyola went on, was it like a 17-4 run to get the lead? Not to take anything away from Loyola, but I'm going to take something away from Loyola. this was a game Wichita came into knowing that they were undermatched and knowing they had to win, and they just looked flat. They didn't look good. This is not how you come into a game that you cannot afford to lose. Kind of discouraging here on the part of the Shockers.
On the other hand, great teams are not always great, but they're great when they have to be, and the Shockers only allowed 2 points to Loyola in the final 4 minutes, so that's one reason why they're moving on to face Northern Iowa tomorrow.
Well, I'm really disappointed with the way Van Vliet played today, but Bron Baker really bailed him out there. The rest of the bracket here, though, John, Northern Iowa, Evansville, Indiana State in a mild upset. Don't think it was a very major upset.
No.
I don't know that any of these games were nearly as exciting as that first one either.
Well, I managed to get one of the two upsets right here, but then again, Indiana State really isn't that much of a stretch here. But I still think Evansville and Wichita State are going to end up facing off for the title on Sunday.
You got to watch out for this Northern Iowa team. They're really well coached. They're going to come in really confident because they had beaten Wichita before. They defended Wichita in a way that was very difficult for them to operate in the second half of the game. And it was a kind of a matchup to where whenever Van Vliet got the ball, they put two players on him. So it would not shock me. And we've seen what Northern Iowa can do when they play up to their ceiling. Now, they don't always play up to their ceiling, but it would not shock me at all if Northern Iowa won that game tomorrow.
Well, my original call in this conference was Evansville over UNI in the championship game, so I got to stick with that. I'm still alive for that prediction. Another conference that was in the quarterfinals today was the Big South, where we saw the first game of the day was High Point and Longwood, and the big news out of that one was that John Brown, who had actually missed the regular season finale, came out pregame on crutches. And word is, at this point, from my understanding, is that he's probably not going to be playing at all during this conference tournament. And if not, his entire career may be over being a senior. On top of that, to make matters worse for High Point, about halfway through the first half, I lost it there. What happened?
You've got their KenPom page
there,
up.
There we go. Okay. About halfway through the first half, the High Point's second leading scorer also went down with an injury. And he may not be available also. So even without their top two players, though, High Point did knock off Longwood tonight to advance to the semifinals. Chalk holding across the board here, though, other than Gardner-Webb knocking off Coastal Carolina.
Yeah,
don't be deceived by that number 4 that's next to NC Asheville, because they led the Big South for a good chunk of the regular season here.
Yep. So, and again, they looked pretty good today, edging out Liberty.
Right. Winthrop kind of got by Presby fairly easily. The Gardner-Webb Coastal Carolina game was close. And anybody that would have picked Coastal Carolina to win this conference tournament, we've edited that out, and that person clearly picked up Winthrop to win it.
Right. Coastal Carolina done with the Big South forever. So,
forever.
And that's if you were lucky enough to see the internet feeds, because they were crapping in and out at times today.
Yeah, Buies Creek, not exactly a metropolis of activity. I don't know if that has anything to do with what the issue is. But, I mean, the tournament's in Asheville. I was really impressed with Asheville today. It wouldn't shock me if they certainly look like the best team to me, at least today. So
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going on here. And another conference that had two of its quarterfinals played today was the Metro Atlantic. Both teams, Monmouth and Canisius, more or less rolling. Monmouth kind of tried to let Ryder back into the game late before finally turning it back on again. But it almost felt to me like Monmouth just fell asleep halfway through the second half and then finally woke up again.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it looked like. Monmouth's shot selection is still awful, but they did get it done today. Iona also winning. The two games tomorrow should be fun. St. Peter's and Fairfield. St. Peter's had a pretty good season, and at times they looked like the second-best team in the league. And then, of course, Siena, the host team in Manhattan. If Siena wins, they stay alive and are probably the favorite, but if Manhattan wins, we get that Manhattan-Iona matchup again in this conference tournament that we love so much.
Yeah, Iona are happy right now. They've got a tough game no matter who wins that.
Right.
I get the feeling that Monmouth was trying to save some energy for their following game, but then they realized it's not going to be until Sunday. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's keep moving here. A couple conferences in their first rounds. Begin with the Colonial, where we expected this conference to be really fun and exciting after the first round, but we actually had two really good games here in the first round tonight.
Yeah.
Beginning with that Elon Drexel game that both teams kept looking like they're about to pull away, and then whoever fell behind just made the comeback. But Bruiser fled to the Drexel Dragons, get the upset win over Elon and advance to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and it did. It went back and forth. Drexel opened up a huge lead out of the gate, and hardly anyone saw it because the conference was having trouble with the internet feed. Elon came back. They got a lead. And like you said, it just went back and forth. Really exciting game. Now, I think Hofstra is going to win tomorrow without too much trouble, but Charleston-Wilmington is probably the more interesting game. I still think Wilmington wins it. I know they crapped out down the stretch, but there were times they looked really good. And in looking at this bracket, Chad, there is not a single one of the four games that I am not excited about. We knew this was going to be a great tournament.
I have a feeling if there's going to be a blowout, it's going to be the Hofstra-Drexel game. But, Drexel beat William & Mary down the stretch, and they've really been playing well lately. John, your thoughts on these four games here tomorrow?
Not a single gimme among those four games. And it wouldn't surprise me if Northeastern and William & Mary also won by double digits as well.
Towson, you got to give them a little bit of credit. The tournament is in Baltimore. They are, I guess, the quote-unquote home team. But I don't know that last year they really didn't have that big of a fan turnout. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. They are in the late game, which will help them with the fan turnout at least.
Yeah, the environment in Baltimore is not the same as in Richmond, but then again, all the teams from Richmond have left for the greener pastures of the Atlantic 10.
They're actually going to be moving this tournament down to Charleston next year, which I think College of Charleston fans do turn out, so I think it's going to be a pretty exciting tournament next year.
Yeah, they do. And Charleston's hosted conference tournaments before, albeit not the Colonial, but in their SoCon days, that was a regular location for it. And they do a good job with it. They have a really nice arena. Charleston's a good place to have it. I know it's not. It seems almost crazy that the Colonial would not be in Virginia afterwards. We got so used to seeing it there, but it's not the most centrally located city, but it's a fun city to be at, and they'll do a good job with it.
And there's also a reason why Charleston hosts a pre-Thanksgiving tournament each year now as well.
Right, that they don't always play in themselves, which I find hilarious, but.
Over in the SoCon today, we had the first round games as well. We had one of them going overtime, Samford knocking off VMI in a pretty good game there in overtime. The other one, another close game as well, Mercer, a 2-point win over Citadel to set up the quarterfinals for tomorrow.
Right, that ended in spectacular fashion. If you missed it, the Citadel was on the free throw line for a 1-1 with 1 second left, 2 seconds left, whatever, but they missed it and the game ended. So not quite the same as a missed last second shot, but it sort of had that feel to it. But, yeah, two really good, exciting games today. Now, I think Chattanooga just buries Samford. Samford got off to that 7-2 start. We talked about them on Under the Radar a couple of weeks early in the November-December era. They really tapered off after that. But I don't know. What do you think? Can Mercer step up on ETSU? Is there any way?
I think Mercer is lucky to dodge a bullet because we always talk about teams, whether or not they should foul when they're up three. We never ask this question when they're up two, though, and they got away with it big time.
Yeah, they did.
And, yeah, I don't think Mercer is going to keep going on here. I would take East Tennessee State, but I still think Chalk is going to pretty much hold tomorrow. Yeah. Maybe Greensboro could upset Furman. I don't know that that'd be that big of an upset, though. One other game that was played tonight in terms of conference tournaments came in the West Coast Conference, where Loyola Marymount beat San Diego. Moving on to play St. Mary's. John, I know you don't think Loyola Marymount has a shot in this game, but David, I want to ask you about it. Can Loyola Marymount beat St. Mary's tomorrow?
They can if St. Mary's beats themselves. I mean, if St. Mary's comes out and sleepwalks like they've had a tendency to do, they could blow it. I'm not expecting that. As hard as I've been on St. Mary's, they have looked good in the last couple weeks. You know, it's not the same team that barely beat Pacific and barely beat some other teams. LMU beat St. Mary's, didn't they? At one point in the year,
No, you're thinking of Pepperdine.
I'm thinking of Pepperdine, I'm sorry. Yeah. But it's not the kind of team that sweated out those games. I don't think LMU has much of a chance. No.
John, how about these other games here? Could Santa Clara or Portland pull the upset? And do you think Pepperdine-San Francisco is going to be a close game or a blowout by Pepperdine?
I think it's going to be chalk among all top four seeds right here.
Okay. Well, let's move on to a few other games that will be played coming up tomorrow night. First of all, the Northeast Conference back in action with its semifinals. A pair of games I'm really looking forward to here. Oh, LAU, yeah. Brooklyn at Wagner, Mount St. Mary's at Fairleigh Dickinson, especially that second game there. I think that Mount St. Mary's FDU game could be really fun. Hopefully the FDU fans show up for this one.
Thank you to CBS for finally getting these matchups right as well.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, two really good games tomorrow. Wagner, LIU, Brooklyn. It's not the same. A little New York battle there. It's not as heated as some of the other rivalries in the conference, but it still should be fun.
Also coming up tomorrow, we have two conferences that are kicking off, so it's our first time we've looked at them so far in these video notebooks, starting in the Horizon League. Ladder format here. All the games being played in Detroit. We've griped about that a few times. But tomorrow's games, Cleveland State, Green Bay, Northern Kentucky, Milwaukee, Illinois, Chicago, Wright State, Detroit, Youngstown State. Note there, Northern Kentucky, same situation as Stetson, an ineligible team playing in the conference tournament. The Horizon League rules are that whoever they beat in the finals, should they win it, will get the automatic bid.
I don't foresee that being an issue.
Northern Kentucky doesn't have the momentum that Stetson does.
Right.
But let's throw it out there, Dave. Dave, let me start with you. What do you see in tomorrow's games, and then who do you think wins this conference tournament?
I really like Chalk in at least three of the four of them. I think Wright State, UIC is just absolutely horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if NKU wasn't in this tournament and Wright State had a bye to the quarters, I think that their chances of making the quarters would only be slightly better than they are playing against UIC. I mean, just a centenary award candidate. I know that they're probably not going to get it, but it should be fun. You know, as much as we've complained, if Milwaukee and Green Bay end up meeting in the quarters, that's always a fun game. We've liked Valpo this whole time. I'm kind of excited to watch this tournament play out. Wright State, you got to watch out for them. The only problem is they've looked good in pretty much all their conference games except the ones they've played in Detroit.
And here they are. They have to go through Detroit and Oakland, the two teams that beat them up this year. I don't know that Wright State can make it to the finals. Valpo would be scared to death if they see him in the finals, though.
Yeah, I know.
John, your thoughts on the conference, and who do you think is going to win this?
I don't think Valpo would have to worry about that too much, because even if Wright State does make it through, they're going to be pretty tired having to play four games in 4 days. So that's where the Horizon may want to think about modifying this ladder format a bit, like the MAC did.
You don't want to play four games in 4 days, finish second.
Yep, I agree. I agree with you, David. My pick here also is Valpo to win the conference tournament. I think in terms of tomorrow's games, Youngstown State over Detroit could would be a very mild upset, but I could see that happening.
Yeah.
One other conference that will be kicking off tomorrow is the Summit League. What is that? Okay. Is the Summit League here?
It's the Summit League.
Okay. We have only two of the quarterfinals we play tomorrow, though. Just the one seed IP Fort Wayne playing South Dakota, and the two seed South Dakota State playing Oral Roberts. The other two quarterfinals will be coming up on Sunday. But John, let me start with you this time. Do you see either one of these games being an upset tomorrow? And then who do you think wins this bracket?
I think one I would actually be looking forward to a little bit more is going to be Omaha's debut in the Summit Tournament against Denver. But I still think I'm going to go with our preseason pick, and that's South Dakota State to win this tournament.
David, your thoughts? That remember, this conference tournament is being played in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to pick South Dakota State considering the location. And I like IPFW's team a lot. But if they end up getting to the finals, which I'm thinking they will, it's just it's not the same as it being on South Dakota State's campus, but the atmosphere will strongly favor them. I think you almost have to go with South Dakota State here. Now, I will say this. North Dakota State has underachieved all year. They have the ability, I don't know if they're going to do it, to really make a lot of noise. IUPUI, another good story, a team that was absolutely putrid but really turned it on in the second half of the year. So I realize that that's the day after tomorrow, but that North Dakota State IUPUI game is interesting. And do we see IUPUI and IPFW in big rivalry state there in front of about a dozen fans out in Sioux Falls?
Well, yeah, I mean, IP Fort Wayne has a tougher road to the championship, having to go through either IUPUI or North Dakota State in the semifinals. But I'm going to stick with the chalk here. I'm going to go with Fort Wayne to win this conference tournament and make their first ever NCAAs.
Yeah, and you may recall South Dakota State, or was it North Dakota State? It was North Dakota State, I'm sorry. Got to the round of 32 one year and beat IPFW in the championship game, and it was, I mean, IPFW took them to the wall, so.
Yes, that was at North Dakota State.
Yeah. Chet, are we debuting our new feature now?
Not quite yet. We have a couple other things to talk about for tomorrow. We do have one other automatic bid that could be won tomorrow. We just want to discuss that briefly, and that's in the Ivy League, where tonight Princeton went down in an upset loss at Harvard, a game that they had a shot to at least tie at the very end of regulation, didn't do it. If Yale wins tomorrow and they're on the road in Columbia, not an easy game, if they do that, they do make the NCAA tournament. If Yale loses, then Princeton would have to both win at Dartmouth tomorrow and beat Penn at home on Tuesday to force a one-game playoff. So keep that in mind. One other game of note just for tomorrow outside the conference tournaments, and a little bit of news about this one. North Carolina and Duke are playing, David, and I just found out that these two schools are located 8 miles apart and have never played in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that is tomorrow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, remarkable. 8 miles apart, never played in the NCAA tournament. But yeah, Ivy League a little bit. Princeton goes to Harvard, who had been limp all season, can't get it done. I was kind of surprised, based on how good Princeton had looked for most of the year, that they went in there and struggled like they did against, let's be honest, a really bad Harvard team.
Yeah, I was at the first Princeton-Harvard game, and Princeton just blew them out of the gym. That's why I was absolutely shocked by this result tonight. And Yale, last year, had a shot on the road, the regular season finale, same spot at Dartmouth, and lost it on a buzzer beater, then lost another close one in the playoffs. So
yeah, it
not
was
quite there for Yale. And Columbia is the third best team in the Ivy.
Last year Yale, although I know now it's like, ooh, they have to win two games. Last year Yale had this wrapped up because Dartmouth was so pitiful. Yet they go and lose to Dartmouth in what is still one of the most tremendously spectacular ways I've ever seen a team lose a game.
Now, this time, Yale is going to be coming in with quite a bit of momentum because this was one of their games that was on ASN tonight. They could have pretty much named whatever score they wanted against Cornell tonight.
Yeah.
Columbia is going to be a taller order for sure.
It will be.
Now, we do have actually 14 conferences that will be finishing up their regular season tomorrow. After tomorrow, only the American Big Ten and the Ivy League will have any regular season's games left, so keep an eye out for additional conference tournament brackets on the site. But, Dave, we have a new feature, and then we want to get to our survival board.
Yes. And one of the things we're doing in relation to the survival board is that we are actually going to be corresponding with the selection committee, and particularly Chairman Joe Castiglione. And this is exciting. We're going to be doing this every night between now and Selection Sunday, and basically just conversing, discussing, seeing how the selection process is going, sharing our thoughts, and you know, just basic correspondence. I think that it's great that we're doing this. Don't you?
Absolutely. Let's get this up there. I'm putting up on your screen. We're actually going to tweet to him right now, aren't we?
Yeah. Yes, we're going to do this right now. It should be up here in a second. Can we see it yet?
There it is, David G. Puppet's Hoops HD Twitter account. So
yes. So let's just get this started here. You'll be able to see it here, and we're just going to search for. See if he's coming up here.
There he is,
Joe Castiglione. So we're
at Sooner AD.
Yeah, and we're going to tweet to him here, and let's just see what we got here.
All right. Well, let's read this. Hi, Joe. We need to talk about the teams that will be making the tournament at Sooner AD. What's a good number to reach you at? I think we're just about done with letters, too, but that should be
okay. Pretty. Yeah.
Okay.
Still got 19 to go.
Okay. So we're just going to send this to him right now.
There we go. He just went out to him.
Yeah.
So we'll keep it up Twitter. There.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, and again, like, you know, once he gets back with us as to what number we'll reach him at, we're going to actually try and call him as soon as he gets back with us on the show, too. So
perfect. So Dave, while we wait for him to get back to us, why don't we go ahead and bring up our survival board?
And I should be—I know our audience is going to be disappointed by this. He may not get back to us tonight, but again, we do this every night. It's a daily correspondence. We may call him tomorrow if he doesn't get back with us right now.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and bring up the survival board here, also, David.
Okay. Yeah. So let's see. Where is the NCAA Tournament Survival Board. And this is the other thing that we were going to go over with him. We've actually tweeted this to him as well, the Survival Board.
Yeah, we'll be tweeting it out to him a little bit more this week while we wait for him to get to us. But here it is. As of heading into play tonight, after last night's games, we were at 292 teams remaining, with an asterisk there, noting that Grand Canyon is still on our list. But what we're going to do here in just a couple seconds is we will be updating the board, and this is a very important tool, John. Why is this such an important tool? Can you refresh our audience?
It's important to remind the selection committee which teams should be eligible for consideration and which teams like Belmont and Bucknell should no longer be considered.
Okay, well, David, why don't we hit that button and see what happened as a result of tonight's games?
Okay, here we go. Oh, man, 274.
There we go. If we're locking it on your screen there. There it is, 274 teams remaining after tonight's game. If we want to scroll down a bit, we can see a couple of the games that actually did occur today, such, and a couple of the notes there. For example, note there in the Atlantic Sun, North Florida, a little notation by them. They're not truly losing, you're screwed, because they need Stetson to lose for them to be screwed.
Right, yes, yeah.
We'll also see if you scroll lower. Columbia has come off. They were mathematically eliminated from the Ivy League tonight, as well as all of our conference tournament losers today.
Yeah.
All right. And I have a feeling Princeton's going to be coming out of italics pretty soon, thanks to the Harvard loss.
Right.
Well, on that note, though, John, any other final thoughts about tonight's games? Or tomorrow?
Well, as you may or may not have noticed, with Austin Peay's bench, they've had hashtag rally for Ryan on the back of their shirts, because this is in relation to their head coach's granddaughter, who's been undergoing some cancer treatments recently. And my understanding is after a 7-hour procedure, everything went well and she's recovering. So best wishes to her and the Luce family.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We agree. We agree, and we all send out our best wishes to them. David, anything else for the evening?
Nothing. It's just I'm trying to think back to past years, and it always seemed like it took championship week a little bit to get going. It has been awesome every night right out of the gate. I can't wait for tomorrow. I mean, I really can't.
We've got a lot of games tomorrow, especially the Colonial. We've got at least one automatic bid that'll be handed out in the OVC, maybe two if the Ivy League gets handed out as well. And I guess we just want to well, David, before we log off, have you been tweeted back yet?
Not yet. And I'm afraid that we didn't get that on the screen. I may have forgotten to lock it in, so it's good that you read the tweet. But again, this will be a constant correspondence every night on the show. And again, this is good. I don't think anybody else is doing this. Nobody else is corresponding directly with the committee throughout this whole process. So,
We will be, and we will be filling you in on what his responses are. We'll hopefully get him on the phone. We're still waiting for Mark Emmert to call us back as well regarding the Grand Canyon Antelopes. But on that note, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.